Hey, good morning, everybody. My name is Robert Schuller, and this is the Robert Schuller Ministries, a church with no walls. And I just want to welcome you to this time of worship and praise.
Thank you, Robert. Yeah, this is Donna Schuller. I'm Donna Schuller, Robert Schuller. Welcome to church. So we're glad you're here this morning.
So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to come and worship you. You are our God. We are your people. And so we pray that you'll just open our eyes, our hearts, and our minds to hear a message from you and receive an epiphany, an understanding, a clarity of vision that we may have never understood or realized before. And so we thank you for your goodness, for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. We love you, God. Amen.
Amen. So it's a beautiful day here in Southern California, and I'm excited. You know why I'm excited today. I'm so excited. I'm a person that goes so hard during the day, and when I hit the pillow, I sleep solid 8 hours, usually like 10:30 to 6:30, 10 to 6, something like that. But last night, I was bing, wide awake. I thought it was 2, but thinking back, because I was looking at my wristwatch in the dark, it was probably 1 a.m., because I hadn't changed this for, in fact, I haven't.
Oh, I remember you woke me up and said, what time is it? Thinking it was time to get up. And I go, it's 3 a.m.
I didn't wake you up. I heard him stirring. I'm like, oh, it's almost time for him to get up. He gets up at 4 and he's like, no, 3 a.m. I'm like, oh, sorry. So my alarm usually goes off at 6.
So why are you so excited?
I'm so excited because today is my book launch party. If you've been watching us for a while, you know that I released my newest book in May. So it's been a while. It's Fearless Women Transform Negative Emotions into Positive Realities. And it's all about the choices we make in life. And there's a section where you pray about it, you ponder your decisions. Ah, thank you. You still have that. And if you haven't bought it yet, please go to Amazon.com and buy it, Fearless Women by Donna Schuller. So anyway, a group of my fearless women had this idea to have a book signing. And not a signing per se. I already signed them and put them on the chairs, but we're having a high tea, a women's high tea. So I'll be putting on my gloves. I have a little jacket later.
And you got your hat. And there's a hat contest, the best hat.
Yes, and I can't qualify, and neither can anybody on the committee, but the person with the most fearless hat.
Oh, yeah, yours isn't fearless.
No. Mine's like a basic, beautiful, classic, wide rim black hat. But I'm excited because of what God does with an idea, you know.
When I think of fearless hats, I can't help but think of our friend from the apple cider vinegar, Patricia Bragg.
Oh, yes.
She always wore the most fearless hats.
She wore the same one.
Was it the same one?
Pink with a bunch of flowers.
Oh, yeah, there's the same one.
She was amazing, and she died just 6 months ago. But back to why.
Yeah.
Why this is important, because. Yeah. I woke up at 2, like I said. I think I'm just thinking about what I'm going to say today because I'm only going to talk for like 5 minutes. Most of these women hear me talk a couple times a month. They don't need to hear me talk. But I want to say something to the people that don't know about my book, or maybe they do know, but they don't know why I wrote it. I wrote it because it was the right thing to do, not because I wasn't afraid to write it. And that's what people need to understand about being fearless. Being fearless doesn't mean you're never afraid. Absolutely. Fearless people are probably more afraid most of the time, more of the time than non-fearless people, because we put ourselves in situations or we make decisions, whether it's in family, business, friendship, we make decisions that take courage. So being fearless simply means you push through because you know you have to do something because God called you to do it, and by golly, you're going to do it. And that's me. So it was quite a journey writing the book. If you buy it, the whole first part of it, the introduction, if you will, is about what it's the book I didn't want to write. And yet I think it's my best book. I didn't have a staff. I didn't have a publisher. I did it all by myself. And boy, was it hard. I wanted to give up a lot of times. But again, what is fearlessness? It's pushing through and doing the right thing anyway, because
I'm
it's
smiling
because
I remember those days.
Oh my gosh, we almost got so worse. I was so mad. I would cry and scream and say some bad things. And then Robert's like, just keep going. You're okay. And I'm like, hate this. I love writing. Writing's easy.
Just calm down. Put it away for now.
Yeah.
Pick it up in the morning.
Yeah. No, I got to get it done. So I got to get it done now. Well, you're kind of upset, so maybe put it away.
It probably is not going to turn out right if you do it right.
Yeah, so writing is easy. Yeah. I heard a neurologist that we listened to speak yesterday morning, say she's writing her book, her first book, and she said the writing is easy.
The editing
is horrific, and that's where I am. And, you know, I'm a good opener. I'm not a good closer.
So anyway, that's all. Enough about me.
I am so excited. I'm so excited.
So
I'm so honored and humbled.
Yeah. So shall we talk about some current events?
Yeah.
Does that sound interesting?
I think you better. And then we'll read the Bible. And
well, why don't we start off with something that some people may consider humorous?
Okay.
Have you ever heard of the Babylon Bee? The motto of the Babylon Bee is fake news you can trust. I mean, it, just that alone makes it hysterical.
It really
is the funniest. Yeah. And that's what they're all about. And they get censored all the time.
Well,
by
why are you
going to
show
this? Else.
You're going to be censored.
I don't care. We're going to be censored. You just
we
have
get
to
censored
watch.
Anyway.
And
hopefully you're on our website, drschuler.org.
Yeah, go to our website and watch there because, again, we get censored all the time. And
it's okay.
I'm going to share the truth regardless.
It's because you're fearless.
I'm fearless. You know, what can I say? And so here's our relentless governor going and visiting Xi Jinping. And the Babylon Bee says, Gavin Newsom visit Xi Jinping to get more ideas on how to run California. You know,
for people that live here in California, you get it. You totally get it. If you don't, be thankful you don't.
So it would be funny if it wasn't just a picture of Gavin Newsom smiling. Let me show this picture. Gavin Newsom smiling as he's shaking hands with what I would consider a genocidal
maniac,
psychopath. Mm-hmm. He literally is a genocidal psychopath. 10 years ago, he came into power. And prior to him coming into power, China was moving in the right direction.
Absolutely.
We went over there in 2008. We gave wheelchairs to this Muslim community.
We met with the ambassador of Friendly Contact.
We were working with lots of different people with regards to Christianity. Mm-hmm. I was actually contemplating putting on filling up the bird's nest with Christians and choirs from around
the
world.
Tell people what the bird's nest is. People
the
bird's, might not remember.
The bird's nest was built for the 2008 Olympics
in Beijing,
and it was just a magnificent piece of architecture.
Look it up; it's gorgeous.
It's beautiful, and it's called the bird's nest. And I was looking at renting that place and filling it with Christians, but then. When Xi Jinping came to power, everything's changed. In the last 10 years, it has become a genocidal place. It started off with the Uyghurs. If you want to research some of this stuff, you have to go to DuckDuckGo for your search, because Google is censored by the Chinese government, and they will not allow anything negative about their community to be seen or heard. So to find out some of this information, you have to go to use the search engine DuckDuckGo, and then you'll get some of the truth and some of the interesting other things that the Chinese government has been doing over the last 10 years. But the Uyghurs are in the northeast part of China, and it's basically a Muslim community. And in 22, last year, a year ago, the U.S. determined that China's actions constitute genocide. The U.N. called it crimes against humanity. And there have been more than 1 million Uyghurs that have been placed into what they call re-education camps. And many of them, if not most of them, have been killed and died. Now, if that's not bad enough, you have the Falun Gong, which are currently being persecuted, and the Falun Gong are being killed for their organs.
Yeah.
So here it is. It says China, the numbers on the, I don't know, the China is carrying out over 60,000 illegal organ transplants annually, according to the reports and what they have found, and that number has only gone up. So
is that for the money they get?
That's for the money they get. So what? Horrible. So what they're doing is, if somebody needs a heart transplant, they can go to China, and they don't have to wait for one because they'll find a match from a Uyghur or a Falun Gong practitioner, and they will simply take the organs. It's absolutely the most heinous, criminal thing I've ever heard and seen in my life. And so here we have our governor of California. It's like standing next to Hitler, shaking his hands with a great big smile,
yeah, going, oh,
or
it's great
Stalin, or anybody else. And that's how I see when I see this picture. In addition to all that, since he's taken office, he's bulldozed down numerous churches, synagogues. He does not allow any religion whatsoever, nothing but atheism. And because the people have to worship the state, the state is their God, and it will remain their state.
There's too much power when people become Christians.
I can't stop here. I've got to give one more report. And that is the report on the situation in Palestine. So last week I showed this map of Israel, which is the map from 1946, when the British mandate divided up the countries, and you have the white on the top, which is Syria, the yellow, which is Israel, and the coral, which is Jordan. As you can see, there is no Palestine. There are no Palestinians there. So, well, maybe before the British mandate took place, there was a Palestine. Well, let's go back to before the World War, First World War. Prior to the First World War, what you have is you have the Ottoman Empire. This is a map of the Ottoman Empire. And this map dates back to 1914, before the First World War. And you can see this is the Ottoman Empire, Turkey, and the like. And in order for you to get a better idea of Israel and where the Palestinian territory should be, let me give you this one. It blows it up. And the question again is, where is Palestine? Mm-hmm. You can see the purple is all Syria. The yellow is Arabia. That's the Arabian Desert. The orange is Beirut. The pink is the district of Jerusalem. And again, where's Palestine?
Beirut was a lot smaller, no?
Not during the Ottoman Empire. So once when you have the...
Looks like it's moved around.
Absolutely. So what happened when the Brits divided everything up and created countries, what they created was this map.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we recognize the rest of it with Iran and Iraq and the like, and Egypt's Gaza, which is the place that we're concerned about, is the little strip of white down at the bottom there, which is part of Egypt. So that's the way it was in 1946. So now what's happening on the college campuses is, in my mind, pretty disgusting. So you have your left radicals will always put what they're doing on somebody else. So if they call somebody a racist, they're racists, and more times than not. And so when you look at their signs, you can tell what they're up to and what they're for and what they're against. So here's one of the most current signs that they're it's stop the genocide. So they're projecting what they want. And so the definition of the word, it's on my phone. Shucks, I don't have it. But the definition of the word of euphemism is right here. This is the definition of the word euphemism. Euphemism is a nice way of saying something that's not accepted and would not be accepted any other way. So what they say is, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free.
Yeah, well, what's that mean?
What does that mean? Mm-hmm. That means that everything from the Jordan River to the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, will be Palestine.
Yeah, so what?
In other words, Israel is wiped off the map. Mm-hmm. In other words, they are projecting, like I said, they're projecting
genocide.
And so if there's a theme to my message today, it's genocide in the world, and how horrible and how terrible and how bad it is. Now, finally, you have to ask yourselves, what's up with these protests in the streets? How can people who are protesting for LGBT rights, and I forgot all the Q's and pluses and everything else, I'm just shortening it down for time. Why are they standing pro-Palestinian terrorists?
Right. Yeah.
When terrorists. if they were involved in that government, they would be executed. They would be shot. Mm-hmm. And the same thing goes with other identity groups. Why do they do this? Religious freedom does not exist in with the Islamists, and we have to separate the Islamists.
Yes.
Like Hamas, as opposed to your normal Muslims, who are to the most extent loving people, and so why do they stand up and do this? We come right back to this wonderful picture of this wonderful man. These stories tie together. And let's see if it'll come up. Wrong one.
Wrong That's wonderful one. Man.
Yeah, the one I'm trying to show you is Xi Jinping. And the reason I'm trying to hide this. There we go. Hide that.
All right.
And pull this one up. The reason I bring this up, Xi Jinping wants to create a Pax China, as opposed to a Pax Romana. Mm-hmm. They want to be the government that controls the world, that it controls the economy. And as a result of that, the first step is disabling countries and disabling the world. And how do you do that? You bring out Marxist ideology and theology, which is two classes in the world. The two classes are, you know what I'm going to say, right? It is the two classes are the oppressed and the oppressor. If you're the oppressed, you have the rights to do anything to your oppressors.
If you think you're the oppressed.
Well, that's
I'm just saying.
And so that's why these universities, campuses across the world, and these protests are springing up because of the influence of China and communism and creating unrest in the Western world, in democracy, because China has to rule through with an iron fist and complete dictatorship. And that's why Xi Jinping in 2013 started this massive human rights violations and genocides to gain control, because the Communist Party was losing control in China, and they have to get it back. So anyway, that's a long discussion about what's going on, but it's really based in communism, based in Marxist theology, based in the oppressed and the oppressors, based in genocide, and that's why they can justify the slaughter of innocent civilians and criticize those who supposedly are the oppressor. So that's enough of my little message on politics today and geopolitics. And
well, it's important for people. It's important for all of us to just, you know, obviously we talk about how the Bible fits in here. That's the most important thing. What does God say about this? What does God say about this in his inspired words? And just to be aware, not to walk around with your head in the sand, and to stand up and to speak up and to be fearless in proclaiming the word.
So with that, I'm going to let you read our scripture and our prayer.
Will do.
And we're going to, then I'll come back and we'll have our message about answering the question, who are you?
Who are you?
Yeah.
That question. So today's Bible readings from 1 Peter, the New Testament, Peter 2, 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 10. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for these words. Thank you for encouragement. Thank you for giving us hope, even in times where we're confused and we don't know who to trust, what to believe. People are not who they say they are. People are not doing things that we thought they should be doing to protect us in our countries. Lord, you are the ultimate protector, and we need to continue to come back to you and to trust you, and to know that your words and your promises are true and they're real. And Lord, as we pray for the horrible atrocities that are going on around the globe, and even right here in our United States, Lord, we just pray that these things will be put away, that these things will be conquered. And we know they'll be conquered, but in your time, not in our time. We want it to happen now. We want goodness to prevail always. But Lord, you have your plans. So I just ask patience and perseverance to keep on keeping on, to be fearless and to stay the course. And the course is to keep our eyes on you, God. We love you and we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Oh, yes. Well, this is a church service and we have an offering. We thank those of you that listen that already support this ministry. We could not do what we do without your support. Again, this is a church and therefore we're a 501c3. And we have a couple of different ways that you can give to this ministry if you feel so called. If you listen to us and you don't feel like giving, that's okay. But pray about it, and maybe someday you'll decide to support this ministry. Better yet, support it on a weekly basis by becoming a recurrent giver. And just know that we love you either way, and we pray for you. So first of all, if you want prayers, write to us. And this is also how you can get the offering to us. Go to drschuler.org, which is our website. And I need to spell that.
Exactly.
D-R-S-C-H-U-L-E-R. S-C-H-U-L-L-E-R, one word, drschuler.org. I'm spelling it because closed caption is on some of our social platforms, and they correct that, but it's Dr. Schuler, D-R-S-C-H-U-L-L-E-R.org. You'll see a button that says, I'd like to give, and that'll take you a minute or so to set up that way. We'd love it if you'd like to give that way. It's a secure online giving platform. If you prefer, you can mail us a check. So you scroll to the bottom of that homepage of our website. At the very bottom, you'll see this address, which is our office and home address, 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. I know, I'm getting
close. So, yeah, why don't you, do you want to cough or something?
No, I don't want to cough. So we both, he had a cold two weeks ago. And I had a cold last week, and it's like
coffee.
This residual, you know, when you're no longer feeling under the weather, but you kind of have a little cough. It's like a dry cough. So it's like,
so all you do, take a sip of your coffee. And I'm just going to say, if you live in the Newport area, or if you're visiting in the Newport area, come and join us for church. We actually changed our church service time from 10 to 10:30.
Today is the first day, 10:30.
Yes, exactly. And so if you get there at 10, hey, you can just hang out with us. Well, we usually get there around 10 to set up. And you can help set up as well. There's not a whole lot of
staff.
So it's at 100 Civic Center Drive, Newport Beach, California. And you can come by at 10:30 and worship with us. And we've got a wonderful group of people who love Jesus.
Amazing
group. Who are awake and understand what's going on in the world. And how to deal with the deep state or the administrative state of the government, and vote accordingly. So we're
fun too.
We had a church dinner last weekend
where we all dressed up because it was Halloween. It was so much fun. And then we have a dinner every month, and it's at somebody's home or in somebody's rec center. We're going to a community center next month. This month, November. And it's coming up soon. It's like a week and a half from now. And that'll be, thank you. That's good coffee. It tastes like chocolate or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, come to church if you're close. 100 Civic Center Drive, Newport Beach. It's really centrally located in Orange County. It's really nice. And it's a beautiful building. And we'd love to welcome you.
So if this message is meaningful to you, please let people know about it. Forward it. Mm-hmm. Like it.
Please.
Follow us on YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. And like us and just share the word.
And we didn't finish. If you don't want to give via those two methods we already mentioned, you can give via Venmo. It's Robert Schuler Ministries, and same name, Robert Schuler Ministries for Zelle, Z-E-L-L-E. If you know Zelle, you know it. If you don't, you don't. Zelle's good because they don't take any fees out. That's what I've been told. No fees, which is nice. Because the church has to pay fees, obviously, for any kind of services that we use for financial reasons. So Zelle, but anyway, it's Robert Schuler Ministries. And also, if you forget the name of our website, it's also robertschulerministries.org. Again, one word, robertschulerministries.org or drschuler.org, drschuler.org. So God loves you, so do we.
Go make a drink. Take the dog for a walk.
Go make a drink. Go make a protein drink.
Our protein drinks. Yeah, our breakfast.
That sounds kind of funny.
It does sound funny. Morning. Yeah.
Okay, gotta go make a drink.
Yeah, I didn't want you to make me a margarita or anything.
No, it's too early.
No, I wanted you to go and make our breakfast, which has all kinds of fruit in it and protein and some other stuff. But anyway, Donna read for us from 1 Peter 2. And I want to continue to talk about Peter. You know, one of the things that Peter did was, you look at his life, and I think he's the only person I've ever heard of in the history of mankind to walk on the water aside from Jesus. In Matthew, we read about Peter walking on the water. And I want to read it for you. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd after he dismissed them, he went up to a mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why do you doubt?" When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Here is Peter and having enough faith to literally walk on water. And now this same person who cried out to Jesus and said, "Lord, save me," has come and he's writing us these words. And he says, "Therefore, rid yourself." You and me and everybody who reads these words, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Enjoy the spiritual nourishment that God wants you to have. I'm going to ad-lib this. And he says, because as you come to Jesus, the living stone that was rejected by humans, because he was crucified, he was arrested, he was crucified, he rose again, and he's now building the church of Jesus Christ, a spiritual church. I talked a little bit about this last week, not a physical church, but a spiritual church of which he is the cornerstone, not to be confused with a keystone. A keystone is the stone that holds an arch in place. The cornerstone is the first stone that is laid in a building that is built. And in the state of Israel, in the time of Jesus, and to this day, most of the buildings are made of stone. And why would they use stone in Israel? They used stone because it was readily available. It was everywhere. And in fact, the stones that they made the temple out of are absolutely the most enormous stones you will ever see anywhere. They are this, some of them are larger and bigger than a container, a 40-foot container. They're the size of a large bus. They are magnificent, and they're every single stone is framed, literally is beveled all around the outside, smooth and beautiful, and fit perfectly with one another, so that there is no gaps in between the stones. There is nothing. Today, because of all the weather that has taken place on the Western Wall, there's lots of gaps for people to put things in, but that's not the way it was 2,000 years ago. It was perfectly smooth. There was no way you could put a piece of paper in that wall when it was new. And I picture the temple, the enormous place where Jesus was actually tried, where Jesus would go and teach. And I picture the cornerstone of that temple being Jesus Christ himself. It is the starting point from which everything else gets its angles and its strength. And Jesus is the cornerstone. And typically on a cornerstone, it is labeled the date it was laid, the time, the contractors, the name of the building, things like that. In the time of Jesus, that wasn't a tradition, and it didn't happen. And it didn't happen because on the cornerstone, we know that the cornerstone of that temple is Jesus Christ himself, not as a dead piece of granite or marble or sandstone, but a living stone. That's what our scripture says, a living stone, which reminds us of the words of Jesus, living water. A living stone. living spirit. Jesus is all about life. And it is that life that conquers death. And it is in that life that we find who we are as individuals and people. Because without Jesus Christ, we are lost. We don't know who we are. We can see ourselves as a biological being, but are we any different than animals? And if you're looking at the left atheistic concept of humanity today, they don't consider humans any more valuable than animals. In fact, they in many ways consider animals more valuable than humans. But here we have it, that we are created a little lower than the angels. We have been chosen by God, and Jesus is the cornerstone. And St. Peter, when he says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame," he is quoting the prophet Isaiah from 1,500 years ago. So Peter is very educated in the scriptures, in the Old Testament. He understands it all. And then he goes on and he quotes Psalm 118. And you'll know Psalm 118 because I've quoted it so many times. The first part is, "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." And the second half, if you were to read 23 and 24, it would continue, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." That's Psalm 118, 24. And then he continues to quote Isaiah 8:14, and says, "A stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall." If we do not accept the living stone, if we do not accept the fact that Jesus is there to enlighten us, it will become a stone upon which we stumble upon, because we're walking in the dark. And if you're walking in the dark and there's something in your path, you're going to stumble over it. But when we accept the living stone of Jesus Christ, when we allow that light to illuminate our hearts and our minds and our souls, we see those stones, and they aren't a stumbling block in any way, shape, or form. They are the building blocks upon which we build our lives, upon which we understand who we are in Christ. Which brings us to the question that I've brought up today: who are you? From here, Peter goes and he specifically asks this question and answers this question. He says, "But you are, number one, a chosen people, two, a royal priesthood, three, a holy nation, and four, God's special possession." That's who you are. Now, Satan will come and he'll tell you his lies and he'll tell you all kinds of things, that there's nothing special about you. You're just maybe a little more than an animal if you're not just an animal, that there's no life after death, that, or a host of lies to make you feel less than and unworthy. But here we have the scriptures, the truth, from St. Peter telling us that we are a chosen people. You know, every time I've had a dog, I go and I choose that dog. I go to a breeder, or I go to somebody who's got a, or I go to the pound. I think the last time we actually rescued the dog we have now, Jetson, was a rescue from a pet store where they had a, They displayed all these dogs that were rescued, and we adopted him, but we chose him. That's the point. And if you go and you get a dog, you're going to decide, okay, what kind of breed do I want? Do I want a dog that sheds or a dog that doesn't shed? Do I want a dog with long hair or short hair? Do I want a big dog, a little dog? Do I want an athletic dog or a lazy dog? Do I want, and you go through all these different criteria of what you think is going to work well for your lifestyle and for your personal desires, and you choose a dog. And some people say that the dog chooses you. And I think there may be some truth to that, and that when we hear these words that we are a chosen people, that God has chosen you, God has chosen me, we get to the theological concept of what's known as predestination, that God knew from the beginning of time. When he created you, he knew who would choose him and who wouldn't choose him. And so did he choose you or did you choose him? And that's a question we can't answer. It's like, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? And I think we know from the Bible that the chicken came first because God didn't create eggs. He created a couple chickens and the chickens laid the eggs. But the fact is that God has chosen you. And as a result of that, you have chosen God. It is because God doesn't force you to love him. God will never force you to follow him. God will never force you to be one of his people. But he has chosen you. Every single person on planet Earth, he has chosen. And he gives them the right to be, number two, a royal priesthood. What does that mean, a royal priesthood? In the Old Testament, we see the 12 tribes of Israel. And one of the tribes, the tribe of Levi, was the priests, the royal priests of the state of Israel. They had special privilege to be able to do certain things, to meet with God, go into God, and be around God. And now in this new temple, this spiritual temple that is built with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone, every single one of us become a building stone in that spiritual temple of Jesus. And we are priests, a royal priesthood, in the fact that we don't need to have somebody like the Levites did for all the Israelites go and present our gifts to God. We are a royal priesthood, do not need that. We can go straight to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our priest and our king. We don't need an intercessor to do that for us. We can go directly to God through Jesus Christ. And we are, as a result of that, a royal priesthood. Just like the Levites for the state of Israel, we are the Levite nations built into the kingdom of God as part of this spiritual temple with Jesus Christ as this cornerstone. Who are you? You're a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. Not a nation full of holes. You're a nation that is sanctified, set apart. That's what holy means. It means to be set apart. You have been selected to be different. And when we look at the anti-Semitism that has spread across this world since the time of Rome, we have seen anti-Semitism just continue to flourish, and it seems to never disappear. And today it still is alive, which we see on the campuses. I talked about that earlier. And we see that as a reality today more than ever. And why? Because they have been set apart. They are, as a result of that, they are not the oppressed. And if they're not the oppressed, the left communist regimes see them as the oppressor, and therefore they must be eliminated. All oppressors must be eliminated. There's only two classes in the world, the oppressed and the oppressor. You have been set apart. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, set apart nation. You are God's special possession. God has chosen you. He has elected you. He has selected you. You are his possession. You are his, in different parts of the scripture, we are slaves of God, in that everything we have, every moment we have, is a gift from God. And we can thank God for today and today only. And we don't know if we will be here tomorrow. We don't know if we're going to be here next year. We don't know if we're going to be here in a decade from now. On the other hand, we know that we have today to live in as part of God's temple, as saved in the grace of Jesus Christ, that we will live forever spiritually as God's holy nation, set apart, and we are God's special possession. It is something that he's proud of. Think of one of your special possessions. It's something you admire. It's something you appreciate. It's something you love. And it's something you set up in a beautiful place. It's something you care for and protect. And that's the way God treats you. You are his special possession. And he does all these things for us, and he calls us all things for one reason, so that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into light. As we've been taken out of darkness, we don't have to worry about a stumbling stone. We don't have to worry about the problems and challenges of walking in darkness. We walk in the light of the grace of Jesus Christ. And so we walk with confidence and assurance because we can see where we're going. We can see what's in the path. We can see what's over there. And we know that in all things work together for good to those who love God, who've been called according to his purpose. And that's you, and that's me. Who are you? You're more than flesh and blood. Who are you? You're more than your occupation or your lineage. Who are you? You are not the oppressed or the oppressor. Who are you? You are the called of God, the chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are the holy nation. You are God's special possession. That's who you are. And when we lose sight of that, we find ourselves in darkness. We find ourselves listening and hearing the lies of Satan. We find ourselves stumbling and failing to realize that we can give praise to God for today and this moment, today, tomorrow, and always. So, right here, right now, I'm good. Remember these words. Right here, right now, I'm good. God is with you. God's leading you. God's going to give you more than you could ever possibly imagine as you walk in faith. When he calls you, step out on the water and walk on faith, realizing that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time where we can come and we can worship you. You are our God. We love you. We praise you. So touch every heart and soul and mind with your presence, with your goodness. May we see that we have been chosen by you to be a holy nation and your special possession. So guide and lead us, we pray, in your Son's name, always and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord grant you his peace in your lying down and your rising up and your labor and your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen. God's blessing you, everybody. Have a great day. Go to our website, drschuler.org, and support this ministry. And let us know that you appreciate what we do. Share this message and like and subscribe to us on YouTube and all your other, wherever you're watching this. And realize that God is blessing you always. Bye-bye.